God is good. Somebody say He's real good.
Again, thank you all
for having me today. I don't take it lightly when a pastor offers me his pulpit, y'all. There's a lot of goofy people out there. Can I get an amen? Ain't no nice way to say it. I can count on one hand after 12 years of pastoring. I've done ministry probably over 30-some years, but pastored about 12 years. I can count on one hand the people that I can leave my sheep with. Amen. That I know that there won't be something crazy happen while I'm gone. And being on the street in Princeton, we get a lot of stuff walk through the door that we have to have people that have a little bit of spiritual sense to know how to deal with it. It's been interesting. Somebody say amen. We've had some crazy stuff happen, and we've watched God do some mighty deliverances on people and seen the Lord do what He does. He loves people, y'all. He don't pick and choose. He loves the crazy ones as much as He does the religious ones. He loves them all. And there's times I have to make myself do that. There's a difference. Amen? Can I get an amen? There's a difference. Glory to God. I have to ask myself that sometimes when I make decisions. Got to make sure it's what God wants me to do. Amen. I got a word that's on my heart today. It's a four-letter word I'm going to preach on today, y'all. And it's called wait. Wait. Wait for it. It will surely come to pass. Waiting has got to be one of the hardest things that I've done when believing God for something. Waiting on anything's aggravating, y'all. If I'm pulling out down here on the side of the road and I'm going that way and there's a bunch of traffic coming down, I might even ride up the road a half a mile and turn around and get in that traffic. And as silly as that sounds, I just don't like waiting. My wife said, Eddie, you know, if you'll just wait just a minute straight. Waiting on anything. Your call is important to us. Please stay on the line. I don't like that. When I pull into Burger King, I want it now. I don't want to wait. If I'm in traffic and I get behind a slow driver, I talk to my windshield sometimes. When's the movie start? Are you going to go? Are you going to sit here? So Murray keeps me straight. And my son told me the other day, he said, Dad, I don't know if we should call people stupid. And I said, well, Josh, when they pull out in front of you like that, I said, you're stupid. It scared me. And I said, you're right. I repent. Somebody say, I repent. Serving a God who knows no end. 1,000 years is one day. 20 or 30 years is a blink. We must let God develop our waiting skills or you'll go nuts. Somebody say amen. Isaiah 40:31 says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew. That means alter or change their strength, capacity, vigor, ability. They shall mount up. That means raise, recover, restore, and rise up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, tired or faint. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 49:23 says, kings shall be your foster fathers, and their queens your nursing mothers. They shall bow down to you with their face to the earth and lick up the dust of your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed who wait. Somebody say wait for me. Lamentations 3:25, the Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. Zephaniah 9:8, therefore wait for me, says the Lord, until the day I rise up for plunder. One more. Romans 8:24, when we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he can't see? But if we hope for what we don't see, then we eagerly wait for it with perseverance, pushing forward. Your patience is very important, y'all. It's like going somewhere. You have to enjoy the ride until you get there. I take my kids places. It's always, are we there yet? Are we there yet? How much farther is it? I'm like, if you quit asking me that, it'd go faster. But we got to learn to enjoy the ride. And that's what I told them. I said, enjoy the ride. I said, look out the window. I said, look at the stuff. And I just want to get there. I said, then you're going to want to leave. I said, so look at somebody and say, just enjoy the ride. Your patience is so important, y'all. Luke 21:19 says, "In your patience possesses your souls." Hebrews 6:12, "That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit promises." Years ago, I was in a church in Roterfield, West Virginia, a little quiet service. Well, it got pretty wild there at the end. And Mary and I were there, and Mary and I wanted a child, y'all. We've been trying to have a baby back, this is back in the 80s, and we wanted a baby. And Mary lost several kids. And Mary was caught up in the Spirit. She was praising God and just worshiping. And I was checking her out because I'm married to her and I can. Somebody said, "That's right." And I thought, man, she is so beautiful when the Spirit of God's on her and she's glowing like that. And God spoke to me and He said, "One day, Mary will hold your son." And I heard Him loud, clear. No static. I knew that was God, and I began to cry and weep and praise God. And I went home and told Mary, I said, "You're going to hold my son one day." I said, "God told me that." And we started preparing in, brother, and we got a nursery together, and we bought all boy clothes, and we got the crib, and I just knew that I'd heard God. Months went by, years went by, and I got out of fellowship, y'all. I went on a 7-year prodigal retreat, and got mad at the church and mad at everybody, and I just went crazy. And in my mind, I was thinking, if there ever was a promise from God, I just messed it up. So I've annulled that. I might as well start over when I get my life together. And I did. In 1996, I got myself together, and I repented, and the Lord forgave me. And He gave me a walk with Him that I never had before. It's a whole different. But I just kind of forgot about it. 25 years or more went by. And my daughter got pregnant, and she was really messed up on drugs at that time. And if Mary and I would have had a son back in that day, we already had a name picked out, and his name was Joshua. Whew. My daughter had this little boy, and the report was he's going to be messed up. If he's even born alive, he's going to have serious problems because of the drug use. And they wanted her to abort him, and she refused, thank God, to abort him. And when he was born, I spoke life over him, y'all. I've said this here before, I'm sure. When they give me that report, I said, "I don't receive that." I said, "I'm a man of God." And I said, "I have brought life into my house. I've brought life into my children's lives." I said, "I rebuke that report, and I speak life over my grandson. He will be healthy, strong, and perfectly normal in the name of Jesus." And everybody just kind of looked at me and wagged their heads. My wife and I believed that, and I still knew it. And when he was born, he was perfectly healthy. He was not addicted. There was no problems. There was no complications. And when he was born, and she brought him to the house, and she said, "Dad, I need help. I can't raise this baby." And I knew that. And me and Mama prayed, and we decided to adopt him. And we adopted that little boy. And when the papers were signed, Marie was sitting on the couch 26 years later, and she's sitting there holding this beautiful little boy. God said, "I told you, one day she would hold your son." And I was thinking, I said, "Oh, God." I said, "But that's my grandson." And He said, "They called me Son of David. It's lineage." And after we got the birth certificate signed and we made the adoption, it lists me as the father and it lists Mary as the mother. Amen. He's 10 years old now. Makes straight A's. He's smart. He's funny. His personality's off the charts, man. And God just blessed us. Let's give the Lord a hand. So there's times when you think you've heard God, and I did hear God, but I still got off my clock. I was still on my clock. And I thought I figured it out. And this happens a lot with God. I need you to hear my heart. There's times that God may have promised you something or spoke something to you, and you're thinking that it ain't going to happen, and maybe I missed it, maybe I wasn't tuned in that day, maybe I had too much pizza and thought it was God before I went to bed. But the Lord told me to reassure you and remind you that He will do, glory to God, what He says He's going to do. Don't let go of that promise. Don't get discouraged, disgusted, and frustrated when things don't happen. And you think, well, God must not, or it just ain't God's will. If God told you He's going to do it, He'll do it. It may not be right when you think, but it'll happen. Look at somebody and say, it's going to happen. Give Jesus a hand if you believe that. The only way that we receive from Him is through faith and patience. When you wait, it's like exercise to your patience. It develops it, makes it strong. Romans 5:3 says this, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation works patience. Like weights would work the biceps in your arm. It works it. Tribulation works patience. Years ago, my wife had a report when I first met her. Mary was very sick. She had an issue of blood. She was very sick. And we went to Dr. Dremedy's out in Tazewell, and he checked her, and he said she had an erosion of the cervix. He said it was cervical cancer in its worst stage. And give Mary a very bad report. She was very sick, y'all. I mean, she was pale. She lost a lot of blood. She couldn't hardly eat. I mean, you'd never see her. I could have had pictures back then, but it was horrible. And there's times that I'd leave the house and go get a gallon of ice cream or something and come back, and Murray would still be staring at the floor. I mean, mentally, she was done. She was just, it was bad. And when the doctor throwed that report on us, I just got my life together, just got saved in 1981, November, and we got that report. And I didn't know much about God. But I knew one scripture that I had read, and I opened that Bible up to James, and it said, is any sick among you? Let them call on the elders of the church. Let them anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And I called my pastor, and I said, I got a bad report. And I said, I want you all to pray for Mary. And he said, bring her down here. And we took Mary to this church, and thank God they believed in prayer, and they believed in faith in God and in the gifts of the Spirit. And all these men put that hopping oil on her head. Amen. That's what I called it, because I didn't know. I'd never seen nothing like that, but when they'd pray for it, they'd hop. Or they'd do like this. They'd run in place. Glory to God. And they was praying for her. And it really, I didn't see any fireworks. Mary didn't feel anything. But it's a prayer of faith, y'all. If you got to have feelings with faith, you're going to get in trouble. Sometimes you don't feel nothing, y'all. Other times you might get a chill bump, you might have a dream, you might get a warm fuzzy. Sometimes, most of the time, when faith has worked for me, I felt nothing. But in the Spirit, I done what the Word of God said, and I stood on it. We took Mary home, and that week, immediately, the blood dried up. Mary's color came back. Her appetite came back. All the symptoms in a week to 2 weeks were completely gone. Everything. And we kept watching her get better, and then there was no signs. There was no pain. There was nothing. So we went back to Dr. Dremedy's, and he checked her, and he was absolutely baffled. And he said, there's no cancer. He said, take her home. Says she's fine. And he kept looking at me sideways. You know, they don't know what to say, because they're medically, they can't prove that. It was a miracle. God healed my wife. There's been other times in our life. I've seen a lot of healings at my house, y'all. Mary had a knot pop up on her hand. I got pictures of it. And she used to sell CDs at our table, and people would say, oh, honey, what's that knot? Big old knot popped up on her arm. And Mary kept, we'd rebuke that thing and curse it, and we'd anoint it with oil, and it'd get bigger. It got bigger. It defied our prayers. I had every evangelist and every preacher in the country pray for, and it got bigger. Somebody say it got bigger. And I remember thinking, my gosh. And then one day, Mary, I mean, this went on for, I can say years, she had that knot. And it growed and growed and growed until it got rid of her other hand and pop her fingers open. And that's when the devil started talking to Eddie. He said, that's a tumor on her wrist, and it's done wrapped around her fingers and her bones and her tendons, and they'll probably have to cut her hand off, probably her arm, because you waited so long believing God. And that was her fault, y'all. I wanted to go check it. And I remember I got scared. There was fear came. Somebody say fear. Anytime there are symptoms, y'all, there's going to be fear attached with it. Anytime there's a bad report, fear comes with it. So you got to be prepared. Somebody say, God did not give me a spirit of fear. That ain't from God. God did not give me a spirit of fear, power, love, and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1 and 7. That's a powerful scripture. You need to type that out and stick it on your refrigerator. Amen. Y'all can tell I go to the refrigerator a lot. So I put scriptures on that refrigerator that I need to get in my head and in my spirit real good. And I remember Murray started praying, and I said, honey, we need to go get that checked. I said, it ain't going to hurt just to let them look at it and see what it is. And she looked at me with them Cherokee green eyes of hers, and she said, I don't need to know what it is. She said, I'm going to wake up one day. Listen to that. I'm going to wake up one day, and that's going to be gone. And she gave me that look. I said, okay, baby, I'll agree with you. And about that time, we got a hold of a book. I think Charles Capps or somebody had wrote, Faith and Confession. And Mary started going in the bathroom and shutting the door. I guess it was that porcelain effect. She liked to hear that in there. But she'd go in there and pray and thank God and worship Him for healing her. It's not a formula, y'all. It's not something that you can... It's something that becomes a part of you. He's our healer. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. And she would just worship Him and praise Him. And sometimes our little double wide, I could feel it shaking. Like the washing machine was on spin. And Marie was in the bathroom dancing. Praising God. Hallelujah. Thank God for a praying woman. And she got up one morning, not long after that, and she walked in the kitchen. I was fixing coffee, and she said, look, and she held her hand out. That knot that had defied us all those years, that ugly thing on her hand, overnight had shrunk half the size. All those years, y'all, I kept looking at that thing and cursing it and anointing it, and nothing happened. But that morning she got up and it was half the size, and we started praising God. The next morning she got up and it was completely gone. Nothing but a dent. There was just a little dent where that thing used to be in her hand. Give Jesus a hand. Later on, there was a knot popped out on Mary's breast. She had all the symptoms of breast cancer. And I was laying watching Joyce Myers one night, and me and Mary's fighting that thing the same way we fought that knot on her hand, just believing God for a miracle. Mary wouldn't go to the doctor. That's just her decision. And it popped up on the TV and said, if you're between the ages of this and this, and you've got these symptoms, and she had all of them, you're a prime candidate for breast cancer. And we laid there looking at that, and I turned the TV down, and I said, honey, I said, that don't apply to you. I said, we are born again, spirit filled. I said, by His stripes you were healed. I said, I speak life over you. And blessings, I rebuke that doubt out of this house. I rebuke that fear out of this house. God didn't give us that. I'm standing with you. It's going to disappear the same way the other one disappeared. Glory to God. And she said, amen. So we just had church that night. And it was no time after that, y'all. That thing disappeared. It just went away. And Mary said it stung like a bee. And it was as hard as that music stand, y'all. And there's just, I could go on and on of things that I've been, had to wait for. We just got a hold of it. We started praying and believing God. And we started thanking Him and praising Him. Somebody say amen. There's been many, many trials and battles. Galatians 6 and 9 says this. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. If you don't fall over. So I just can't do this. And I felt like it. That's when Murray slaps me. Like that little Italian mother come up and smack you in the back of the head. What's the matter with you? There's times Murray's got to do that to me. And there's times I got to encourage her. And there's other times the Lord's encouraged us both when we didn't know what in the world we was going to do. But I've never, ever, not one time in my life, God has always done what He said He was going to do. There was just times that I looked for it and didn't see it. And it came later on His clock. Somebody say His clock. Give Jesus a hand. Be about Dad's business while you're waiting. Wait upon the Lord don't mean you sit in a recliner with a glass of iced tea saying, I'm waiting on Jesus. Amen. Faith will move mountains, but God may hand you a shovel. Some of the hardest stuff I've ever done is opening a church and running it over in town, getting the building, working on the building every day. Got to fix something. Got to work on something. And the roof's leaking, or the room's got water coming in, or the commode needs a a cutoff valve. There's always something happens, and you just constantly. So living by faith, believing God by faith, He's going to want you to worship Him like you already got it. If you can do that, if you can believe that it was already done on the cross, Jesus done it. When He said it's finished, that means He did everything He needed to do for us to receive today. We just got to believe that. Brother Eddie, how do you believe? You know what the word believe means? To accept as truth. All things are possible to them that believe. All of them. To accept what He said as truth over top of the report, over top of the... And there's nothing wrong with doctors. I hope I don't sound that way. God used doctors to save my life. I had a blood clot across my chest and I had to go in for a while. And they told me I was going to die. They found a big tumor on my left lung while I was in there. That's another thing. They had a big... I've still got the x-ray of this big octopus-looking thing on my left lung. And they told me they were sure it was cancer. And I said, I don't receive that. I did the same thing. I remember one of the cancer doctors, if I told you her name, I told her, I said, I'm believing God for a miracle. She said, why you not let us do biopsy? I said, if you want, they was going to go through my nose, and I let them, and then they wanted to collapse my lung and go through my side, and I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Why you not let us do biopsy? I said, I'm believing God. I'm a man of faith. I'm a minister. And I said, I've seen many miracles, and I'm just trusting God. And she had all of her students behind her with their clipboards. And she said, Mr. Day, you die for your faith. I said, yes, ma'am. She went, phew. And she poked around on me. She said, good luck. You'll need it. And three doctors came to see me. And I, after 7 days, I signed myself out of the hospital. And I called people that I knew would agree with me. I didn't tell everybody. Because some people... I just knew that they'd come to the house crying and tore up. And I told people that I knew would agree with me in faith. I went back 2 months later. They x-rayed me. And this doctor came walking out and she said, Mr. Day, she said, I don't know what God you pray to, but He heard you. Said, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. Give Jesus a hand. I'm not nothing special, y'all. I am stubborn. And I really believe what He said. I really believe that. I told the Lord years ago, I said, you want me to preach? I can't walk around in a state of confusion all the time, not understanding certain. I got to know certain things. How can I truly preach this word if I'm confused about it? If I'm not sure? And I'm telling you, God has shown me some things over the years. And like I said, I'm nothing special. I probably pestered Him to the point that He's like, I'm going to have to show Him something. He's going to drive me nuts. Somebody say importunity. How many of y'all know what that word means? I'm sure you studied it. In the Bible, there was a man came to his friend at midnight. And he said, I got some people come over, more or less. And I need something to eat, man. I ain't got nothing to give them. And he said, man, I'm in bed. He said, don't bother me right now. The door's locked. Kids are asleep. I'm just kind of doing this hillbilly parable for you. And he kept on and he kept on and said that man wouldn't get up and give to his friend because he was his friend, but because of that man's importunity to request time and time again, he got up and gave it to him. In other words, if I don't give him something, he ain't going to leave me alone. I ain't going to get no sleep. There was a poor woman came to a king in the Bible. And the king said, you know what? If I don't bring her justice, she's going to drive me nuts. That's basically what he said. So there's something about importunity. There's something about staying on it and believing it. And Lord, I love you, and I'm trying to be patient, but you wrote this right there. I read it. I preached this. Better than that, when you really believe something, you'll get angry if it don't happen. You'll get frustrated if it don't happen because you believe it so much. And there's faith in that, y'all. There's faith in it. Somebody give Jesus a hand. Be about Dad's business. Continue watering your prayers with thanksgiving. The Lord told me years ago, said, quit asking me to do it and just praise me for doing it. You done ask for it. Now praise me for it. Just like you already got it. My back was messed up years ago. I pulled something in the sciatic nerve and I was flat on my stomach and I had to hang my feet over the bed. It was just unbearable. I couldn't walk. I'd run to the bathroom. and jump in the shower. I couldn't sit very long. I couldn't stand very long. It was unbearable. And I remember I jumped back in the big church. I just couldn't do it. And I was crying. I said, God, I'm a faith preacher, man. I'm hurting so bad I can't move. I got a church to pastor. I got things I got to do. I need help. And the Lord said, I want you to fast 7 days. One meal a day. God spoke this. One meal a day. And He said, don't pray the problem. Pray the promise. I said, come again. He said, don't pray the problem. We already know what that is. Pray the promise. The problem was, God, I'm hurting so bad I can't stand it. I can't walk. I can't sit. The promise was, Matthew 8:17 says, Jesus took my sickness and infirmities upon Himself. The promise was, by my stripes, son, I healed you. The promise, I am the Lord God that heals thee. So I got all those scriptures out and I'm looking at them and I'm quoting them. And man, I did that one meal a day for 7 days. And I broke it up from 6 to 12, from 12 to 6, and from 6 till the next morning, however we done it. And I fasted one meal a day, laying on my elbows in that bed. And I praised God. I didn't pray the problem. I prayed the promise. And on the seventh day, I made myself get out of that bed. And I'm telling you, I was hurting, y'all. And then a preacher called me, not somebody around here. And he said, Eddie, I read an article that you wrote about healing. And said, I'd like you to come to the church and do a healing service. And I'm laying on my elbows talking to him. And he said, will you come? And I said, I'll be honored. I said, when you want me? And he gave me a date. It was coming up soon. It's like a week, a few days away, whatever it was. I said, I'll be there by faith. And I hung up and I heard the devil say, what are you going to do? Let them carry you in on a stretcher? You going to preach a healing service off a stretcher? I said, I'm believing God for a miracle. And when it come time to do that service, y'all, it was up Bluefield. I went into the service and I was standing. There was a lady at our church. She's spirit-filled and she's a massage therapist. And I made them take me to church one night and I went back in my office. And the office that we had then was a little bitty. It was about the size of that booth. Maybe a little bigger. And I laid down in the floor on a cot, on a mat. And the bathroom, you had to come into the office to go to the bathroom. That's where our little bathroom was, in that little room. And I was laying there, man, on my stomach, just believing God. I said, I'm not laying in the bed. I'm believing God. This lady comes in praying in the spirit. And she attacked me, y'all. She fell down and took her elbows and dug them into my back. And I'm going, ah, shut up in the name of Jesus. Boy, she just kept praying and working, praying in the spirit. And it hurt. I told her, I said, I really thought I seen my shoe right beside of my ear one time there when you was pulling me and twisting me. And people would come in the office, go to the bathroom, and they'd go, oh, I'm sorry. You know, I was going, oh, God, somebody get her. It's hurting. And she was praying in the spirit, man. God sent her in there because when she got done, I stood up. And I went out and propped myself up on a stool, and I preached. And that date came up like the next day or whatever it was. And I went to that service, had some people set the stuff up for me, and I forgot my stool. And I said, oh, God, devil, now where are you going? You're going to collapse right in the middle of preaching all this faith. God healed me that night completely. The pain left, everything left. I just need to tell you that God will do what He says He's going to do. It happens His way. It happens on His clock. But there's miracles coming. How many times have you ever heard, your kids ain't never going to be saved? You ever heard that? Your husband, that old crazy thing, he ain't never going to get saved. He don't do church and he ain't never going to do church. That woman ain't never going to get saved. You'll never get that job. You're not qualified for that job. Why do you even put your application in there? Because favor. God will take my application off the bottom and put it on top. God will put you in people's head. You need to know that. Favor of God will work miracles. Years ago, we needed a building for our... we wanted to open a little music store. And we was in a little storefront. And there was a building across the road came up for rent. And I wanted that building. I went over there and walked around that building and peeped through the windows. And I said, God, we want to open a recording studio. And I said, I want a place where people can come in and sit. And we play Christian music all day. And I just went and claimed that building. I seen a doctor pull in over there in a Mercedes. And he came in and looked through that building. And the guy was in the store that day. He said, I guess that's that doctor going to get that building. I heard he'd already paid him in advance. And I looked at him. I said, that's our building, man. He said, oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I said, I done claimed that building. He can't have it. He just can't have it. I know God wanted me to have that building. And I remember the man said, Eddie, I believe I've got it rented. But he said, I'll see you. I'll talk to you Friday. This is the truth, y'all. Never met this man before. I went over to the building. And me and him was walking around. He's showing me some water pipes that need fixed. And he's talking. He said, I believe it done got it rented. All of a sudden, y'all, this man went, he starts crying. Just like that. I went, it scared me. I said, sir. I said, you all right? And he goes, yeah. And he's just sobbing. And we grabbed him some Kleenexes. And this man, this businessman's a sobbing. He said, you're a Christian. I said, yeah. He said, I am too. I said, good, good. And we sit there and we talk for a minute. And he goes, son, I believe God wants you to have this. I said, I do too. Just like that. Somebody say amen. We quit too early, y'all. We give up too easy. When God sent Moses down to get the people out of the Israelites out of the hand of Pharaoh, y'all, it got worse before it got better. Somebody say amen. He increased the workload. He beat them. And the people didn't want Moses there. People told him, said, man, ever since you've come down here to get us out of this mess, we've been getting beat up. We've been getting beat. We've been having problems. We don't really need you here. I mean, if you go back and read it, Moses doubted his ministry at that point, y'all. He doubted his ministry. Go back and read it. It's powerful stuff. But he went back, and God, you know the story, made a wonderful, powerful deliverance. Sometimes things may look worse. They may hurt worse. And they may look like it ain't working, but you hold on to God. You got to have some tenacity, y'all. Hillbillies are some of the stubbornest people I ever met in my life. And I are one. Somebody say amen. You got to take some of that stubbornness and apply it to what God says. You got to get stern. You got to make people laugh at you sometimes. You got to make people roll their eyes at you. If you ain't had nobody go, you ain't lived. Glory to God. Anytime you believe in God for something, there's always somebody going to think you're a Fruit Loop. They'll go out and tell people his cheese has slid off his cracker. They'll say the wheel's turning, but the hamster's dead. He's one of them. So we had a t-shirt made. Yeah, I'm one of them from the bridge, Princeton, West Virginia. And there's just times, y'all, that faith, I put a thing out the other day. Faith, people may think you're stupid until it starts to rain. God tells you to build an ark. It might seem like the stupidest thing. Can you imagine all those years that Noah was out there doing that and all the drunks that came and sit down and said, hey, what are you building a yacht out here in the middle of the desert for? Are you out of your mind? People laughing at him. People saying things about him. I'm sure that Moses' kids or Noah's kids had to hear all the trash they was talking about their daddy. I'm sure there was several fights they got into. Man, you ain't talking about my daddy. Somebody say amen. But when it started raining, phew, Lord have mercy. I just need you to know that God's with you. And I need to tell you that he's going to do what he told you to do. If I came here today with anything from God, he told me to tell you to praise him through the wait, to enjoy the ride, and for me to tell you that he ain't forgot about you, that he's going to do what he said. If you believe that, will you give Jesus a hand? For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. That's Habakkuk 2 and 3, y'all. You might need to write that one down. Glory to God. How many of y'all got a Bible in your bathroom? Oh, y'all need a Bible in your bathroom. Amen. You know how many chapters you can read? Some of y'all could read 3 or 4 chapters. Somebody say amen. I tell my people that all the time at the bridge. They say, Eddie, I ain't got time to read. I said, put you a Bible in the bathroom. Put a Bible in your car. You got one on your phone probably you can download. I said, get scripture. Every time that you can get a scripture, get it. Amen. Pick that Bible up. Put the phone down. and read a few scriptures. Write down all the promises that God made about your situation, about your kids, about your health. Write those promises down and get those things out and read them with conviction and power. We should never pray timid prayers, y'all. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Somebody say amen. We are chosen, ordained. We are peculiar people. We are more than conquerors. We kill giants, y'all, and we cut their head off and carry it around and brag about it like David did. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You're a lender, not a borrower. Everything you put your hands to, God's going to bless. He'll bless you coming in, bless you going out. Somebody say, I am a son or daughter of God. You need to tell the devil that, because you don't feel like God's doing anything, but I'm here to tell you He is. It's happening. When a woman conceives, you can't see it. There's no outside evidence of it, but that baby's in there growing, it's forming, and it shows later. Prayer's like that sometimes. You may not see it when it first happens. When you pray that prayer of faith, you may not feel it, you may not see it, but it's happened. Something happened in the spirit world, and it's growing, and it's getting bigger, and it's getting stronger, and God's going to bring it to pass, because that's just what God does. There have been so many miracles Mary and I have received from the Lord, answered prayers, healings, financial miracles, sometimes just things we wanted that were not life or death, or even a necessity, just things we wanted. That's just a good daddy, y'all. That's just what he is. There were times thoughts came and talked to me. I'm almost done. What is the use? Give it up. It ain't going to happen. You're wearing yourself out with this, Eddie. Just forget about it. Then I realized, that's not me thinking that. That's the enemy talking in my ear. That's my flesh. Because that's where the devil works through. He works through your flesh. Ain't you tired? Ain't you tired of this? Just forget about it. We should be spending so much time trying to get to let this go. Why is he spending so much time trying to get me to let something go? Why is he so concerned about this? Because he sees the miracle come towards me, y'all. He sees the angel stirring. He sees the Spirit of God bringing something, and he's trying to get me to back off of it. He sees it's almost in my hands. He sees that all this waiting and all this faith and believing is about manifested in your life and mine. And he's trying to get you to get off of it. Paul said in Hebrews 10:23, y'all, hold fast to your profession of faith. It's a fight of faith. It's a fight, y'all. It's all up here. This is the battleground of the mind. This is where the devil tries to talk you out of what God's promised you. 2 Corinthians, and I'm done, 10:5. Though we walk in the flesh, the weapons of... What are strongholds? Ask me, would you? Glad you asked me. Anything trying to defy what the Word of God says. It's contradicting what the Word of God says. Pull it down. Look at somebody say, you got to pull that down. Your kids will never be saved. You'll never get better. Your husband will never have salvation. You'll never get a better job. You're underqualified. You will never learn to play that guitar. You're too old to learn anything new. Those are all thoughts of negative bull. Can I say bull? I said it, didn't I? That's the enemy trying to steal something from you. That's what he does. He steals, he kills, and he destroys. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So bringing our thoughts into captivity, that means you catch them, you capture them, you corral them, you tie them up, and you bring them under control. When you bring your thoughts and you cap them, you capture them and bring them in, you tie them up, you corral them. I want you to hear me loud and clear. Your thoughts is where the enemy plays, where he taunts you, where he tries to convince you that it's not going to happen. You must get that under control. Have you ever heard somebody say, my thoughts are just running wild? They do. Can somebody say amen? I've had thoughts absolutely drive me crazy. And then later on I thought, well, that didn't happen. I've had fear come and talk to me when I get reports. Oh, you know what that is. I've had all kinds of things happen with my kids. I've woke up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I heard, if I ever heard a devil, get out of that. I said, I appreciate you telling me that. You're a lying idiot. I don't receive that. Devil's a liar. Somebody say he's a liar. So if you learn to read him, it kind of encourages me now when I hear stuff like that. I go, oh, you're still trying to make me believe that. Something is happening in her life. There's changes being made, and there are. There's amazing things happening. The Lord told me it would be a work in progress, and I've seen huge, huge changes in her life. I just had to wait. So understand, y'all, those thoughts, don't entertain them. They will try and convince you of things that aren't even there. If you allow that into your thinking, it will alter what you believe. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Do you know you can substitute the word think and believe? I think I can do that job. I believe I can do that job. It's the same word, y'all. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. All things are possible to them that believe. I told the Lord, as a young Christian, teach me how to believe. It was as simple as I could put it, but it was profound. I said, God, teach me how to believe, because I've seen all things are possible to them that believe. So one thing is, you can't look at carnal things. You're not wrestling carnal things. It's principalities and powers. You can't look at circumstances, because God, in about 2 seconds, can change that circumstance. I've seen the x-ray. I know it's there. But God's able to just go, and it's gone. Just like that. I know that. So I will never be moved by what I see. Glory to God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You don't always see it. You don't always feel it either. If you need to feel a chill bump, y'all, Michael Landon and Little House on the Prairie will change your feelings. Can I get an amen? Y'all eat a big bowl of beans and fried potatoes before you go to bed. It'll change your feelings. Can I get an amen? You can't ever trust your feelings. Your feelings will deceive you. If you say, I feel good, there's times when faith moves and you don't feel nothing, but you see it. Because you stood on it and because you believed it. You just get this tenacity. You get this stubbornness. And when something says different than what you're believing, you go, I don't want to hear it. I ain't listening to that. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. God's word says this. I don't want to hear no more out of you, devil. In Jesus' name. I've done it many times. I'll be sitting at a red light rebuking the devil. And I'll look over and people will be going, I say, that's that preacher from the bridge. He's crazy. Sometimes on the motorcycle, I'll be worshiping God, man. 75, going down the interstate, praising God, and people just look at you. And if you look back at them, they'll go, yeah, they know you're crazy then. I just smile at people and wave at them. And then sometimes they'll see the patch on your back, and they'll go, that's a Christian guy. He's probably worshiping God. Somebody say amen. Don't let your thoughts run wild. They will. This is the last scripture. Remember this, Habakkuk 2:3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, and that means to question or hesitate, wait for it. Look at somebody and say, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Amen. Would you give Jesus a hand? My name's Eddie, and I want to edify you before I leave. Amen. I want you to know that God's got you. I want you to have confidence in His Word. I want you to trust Him. I want you to know that God's on it. It's already started from the day that you started praying. Don't get off of it. You can water that seed that you planted, y'all. You can worship and praise Him and thank Him and watch things come to pass. It's powerful. It's powerful watching God do what He does. If you need prayer, me to agree with you on something, I promise you I can agree with you. I don't care what it is. If it's in the Word, I'll agree with you. If you don't know Jesus as Lord, I just want to ask you to receive Him today. Just ask Him to come into your heart. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus paid the cost it took to save.